You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Well, if you, like me, grew up listening to Spice Girls, I did, no shame admitting, then you would know their song, Two Become One. But the latest song that we're all hearing, at least in the India business sector, is 27 Become 12. And that is the song of the Modi era. I suppose saffron is a spice as well. The big news of late in the financial sector is the government's decision to merge public sector banks, trimming their number from 27 to 12 over the next couple of years or so. Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman unveiled a plan that will merge as many as 10 public sector banks into 4 entities. As the centre attempts to boost economic growth following a 6-year low, this consolidation is expected to create fewer and stronger lenders. Sitharaman announced the merger is being undertaken in order to revive and revitalize the banking sector to stay on course for the government's stated target of touching $5 trillion as an economy by 2024. Apart from the merger, the center announced that 55,250 crore rupees upfront capital will be infused into these public sector banks. As the disappointment over the underwhelming 5% GDP growth last quarter grows, the second merger of public sector banks in recent times is, according to Mint, the widest rearrangement of the banking sector since the nationalization of 14 banks in July 1969. So, on this episode of Digging Deeper, we look at the merger in some detail, what it means for the sector, and also take a look briefly at what the future could look like for the banking sector in India. My name is Rakesh Sharma, and you're listening to Digging Deeper with Money Control.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
Nirmala Sitharaman announced 4 new mergers. 3 banks, that is Punjab National Bank, Oriental Bank of Commerce, and United Bank of India, will combine to form what will become India's second largest lender. That entity will have a combined total of 18 lakh crore rupees business with India's second largest branch network with about 11,437 branches. Canara Bank and Syndicate Bank, both South Indian banks, will merge to form another large entity which will be the fourth largest PSB with business worth 15.2 lakh crore rupees. It'll have 10,324 branches, the third largest network in India. Merging Union Bank of India with Andhra Bank and Corporation Bank will create the country's fifth largest public sector bank with business worth 14.6 lakh crore rupees and 9,609 branches, which is the fourth largest network. When Indian Bank merges with Allahabad Bank, the new entity will be the seventh largest PSB with about 8.08 lakh crore rupees of business. According to Business Today, these new entities will control, quote, two-thirds of India's banking in terms of advances and deposits are meant to create a strong stepping stone to India's $5 trillion GDP target. Now, here's a number that'll make all of this PSB merger business easier to remember. India will have 6 large public sector banks with 10 lakh crore plus balance sheets, 2 national banks and 4 regional banks. Indian Overseas Bank, UCO Bank, Punjab and Sindh Bank, and Bank of Maharashtra. Now, these banks have a strong regional focus and will continue to separate and will continue to operate as separate entities. Bank of India and Central Bank of India will also continue to operate separately as before. For PSBs as a whole, there will be 12 public sector banks in place of 27 public sector banks as of 2017. Those 12 will include State Bank of India and Bank of Baroda. Sitharaman said such consolidation of public sector banks will give them scale. The centre also announced an upfront capital infusion of 55,250 crore rupees for credit growth and regulatory compliance to support the economy. PNB will receive 16,000 crores, Union Bank 11,700 crores, Canara Bank 6,500 crore rupees, Indian Overseas Bank 3,800 crores, Central Bank of India 3,300 crores, Bank of Baroda, 7,000 crores, Indian Bank, 2,500 crores, and UCO Bank will receive 2,100 crores. United Bank will see an infusion of 1,600 crores, while Punjab and Sindh Bank will get 750 crores from the centre. Ms. Sitharaman also announced other measures over the last few weeks that were intended to help lift India's economy as an increasing number of indicators show it slowing down. According to the Economic Times, she announced a, quote, rollback of the super rich tax on foreign and domestic equity investors, exemption of startups from angel tax, a package to address distress in the auto sector, all in an effort to boost growth. Besides, of course, the infusion of capital into public sector banks. She also claimed gross NPA levels have come down heavily and that the centre is monitoring large loans to avert frauds. She also claimed that the sanctioning and monitoring of loans have been separated and special agencies have been formed to monitor loans above 250 crore rupees to avoid a Nirav Modi-like situation. As you know very well, this is not the first consolidation of public sector banks. I myself have spoken to you about several, especially in 2018, last year. The centre approved the merger of Vijaya Bank, Dena Bank with Bank of Baroda. That became effective from the start of the current fiscal. That merger created a new, improved Bank of Baroda that is the third largest bank by loans in the country. The government claimed no retrenchment or layoffs had taken place after the merger of BOB with Dena Bank and Vijaya Bank, and that the staff has been redeployed and best practices in each bank have been replicated in others. In 2017, State Bank of India absorbed five of its associates, State Bank of Patiala, State Bank of Bikaner and Jaipur, State Bank of Mysore, State Bank of Travancore and State Bank of Hyderabad, as well as the Bharatiya Mahila Bank. The finance minister added that in order to make managements accountable to their respective boards, a board committee of nationalized banks will appraise the performances of seniors like general managers, managing director, etc. According to a report on Mint, post-consolidation, the boards will be given flexibility to introduce chief general manager level as per business needs. They will also recruit chief risk officer at market-linked compensation to attract the best talent. Furthermore, risk management committees of banks will be empowered to veto management decisions and the bank's board bureau will conduct leadership programs for bankers. Right, I suppose this Mahagathbandhan is done, but the question we're all asking is, does it actually help? The government has listed three broad gains from the consolidation. They called it unlocking potential through consolidation. Now let's examine them briefly. The first benefit, they said, is enhanced capacity to increase credit. The consolidated entities will have a higher capacity to lend, but also need capacity building, especially in project appraisal, risk management and monitoring. A bank like State Bank of India, with its massive balance sheet, has also found itself in trouble with similar asset quality issues as other public sector banks. Now, the second gain the government claimed is strong national presence and global reach. With this consolidation, that is. But these PSBs already control 2/3 of all banking in India. And as far as global reach goes, Indian banks have a lot to catch up. Competition from private banking institutions is eating into the share of public sector banks thanks to better digitization, faster processing of loans, and much better customer service when it comes to private banks. Now, the third potential gain is, of course, as the government claims, the operational efficiency gains that reduce the cost of lending. This is one area where the entire operational model simply has got to change. PSBs still operate in an old-fashioned manner. Banking has changed significantly in the last decade alone with product-focused banks. We now have retail banks, small finance banks, payment banks, and so many more types. Meanwhile, public sector banks seem to be caught in the relatively outmoded loop of corporate banking, while private banks are exiting the space due to asset liability management issues. My grandfather was one of the first managers of State Bank of Mysore. I think you will find his photograph in the museum. And I'm pretty certain that a lot of the things that he used to do as a manager are still the kind of protocols that are in place in some of these public sector banks. So operational efficiency gains need to be had, and the government claims that this consolidation is going to lead to them. One analysis on Business Today, writing about public sector banks, went on to say, and I quote, "The PSB model of banking with government ownership, control, and also lending support to government's agenda, that is priority sector, financial inclusion, mudra, etc., has been a big stumbling block for bringing about a change in their functioning. The merger announcement doesn't address the core structural and fundamental issues plaguing public sector banks. The setting up of Bank's Board Bureau was pathbreaking, but this model was not pursued to its logical end. The power of BBB, that is Bank's Board Bureau, was restricted only to appointments of senior management and directors. The government didn't extend the BBB's scope to human resource reforms, NPA and stressed assets resolution, risk management, etc." That said, the mergers are all somewhat similar in nature. Prakash Agrawal, who is the head financial institutions at India Ratings, went on to say, and I quote, "The mergers are mostly among larger banks, with absorbing bank not necessarily in strong health." Unquote. They all face similar issues like falling profitability, asset quality deterioration, an aging workforce, and laggardly approach to digitization. They are all also corporate banks in nature, while retail banking is still very small. Rating agency Moody's upgraded the outlook on Punjab National Bank a few days ago from stable to positive. PNB is, as I said earlier, slated to merge Oriental Bank and United Bank of India with itself. The agency said PNB receiving a positive outlook reflects Moody's view that the bank's baseline credit assessments are likely to improve following capital infusion from the government, and its financial metrics will also gradually improve. That said, Moody's did caution that it could lower PNB's BCA and ratings or change the rating outlook to stable if asset quality, profitability, and capital deteriorate on a standalone basis or as a result of the merger. It was suggested at a meeting by the 10 banks that they should form joint committees on various verticals under an apex committee to oversee the process. For example, different committees with different representatives from all of the entities to be merged could work on various parts like risk management, products, technology, or policy. The apex committee for the merger will anchor the process. Business Standard reported that the meeting was anchored by the Ministry of Finance and the more on processes, considering the many statutory and legal stipulations involved in a merger. Many senior professionals across all the banks are involved in the world on the mergers. One of the bankers said, and I quote, "We do not want the feeling of large banks taking over control of small banks to dominate the process. Best practices of various banks will be adopted to get business benefit for an organization post-merger. The priority is minimal disruption to business and customers," unquote. Meanwhile, Raj Kiran Rai, who is the MD and CEO of Union Bank of India, said it was more of learning from Bank of Baroda's experience and of merging with Vijaya Bank and Dena Bank. State Bank of India Chairman Rajneesh Kumar said the biggest advantage is that the bigger banks have greater ability to absorb shocks, reap economies of scale, as well as the enhanced capacity to raise resources without depending on the exchequer. And of course, this is no guarantee for success. One example is State Bank of India itself. Business Today pointed out India's largest bank, that is SBI, does not figure in the top quartile in terms of performance. One analysis on Business Today explained the situation something like this, and I quote from there. "Product differentiation is completely missing, and it seems the technology platform was one of the major drivers for deciding the banking mix of banks. Do we need more clones of each other? Experts suggest there should be a differentiation in terms of product category, say SME or emerging corporate-focused banks or purely retail banks or large corporate banks. Currently, there are specialized banks in the market. For example, HDFC Bank, Kotak Mahindra Bank, etc. are emerging as retail banks. There are Bandhan Bank and a host of other small finance banks that are focused on catering to unbanked and underserved segments of microloans. In a slowing economy where the asset quality deterioration of public sector banks has still not receded, the merger could be counterproductive." Unquote. Anil Gupta, who is vice president at rating agency ICRA, also told Business Today, "The choking of management bandwidth should not result in a slowdown in credit flow to the economy." Now, on the other hand, one analysis on Bloomberg Quint approved of the center's move. The report went on to say, and I quote, "This initiative is a welcome move in the right direction. One of the causes for the slowdown was the reduction in lending following the financial problems we saw from the IL&FS issues since last September. Consequently, the banks started going slow on lending to NBFCs, which in turn did not have the money to lend for purchases of cars, two-wheelers, houses, etc. That aggravated the slowdown caused by poor and erratic monsoon, as well as the lingering effects of demonetization and GST rollout. This initiative by the central government is a measure to help improve banks in their capital adequacy." Unquote. That analysis also explained that the central government, which is the owner of public sector banks, is trying to improve the governance of these banks. We witnessed in the past how ineffectively these organizations have been run. There were news reports on lending decisions being made not on merit, but based on other considerations. Like Bloomberg's column went on to say, "The improvement in governance is focused on objectives sought to be achieved, systems and processes within the bank itself, merit-based lending, and oversight by the board. The government had taken a decision in the past on the separation of the role of the chairman and the managing director. Earlier, the public sector banks were run by one person who was chairman and managing director. but this separation is not efficiently implemented. It should be implemented immediately by giving more powers to the chairman, so that the chairman has some oversight and responsibility over the board and also over the CEO. Unquote. According to Moody's, the government's measure also gives rise to some execution challenges and does not yet reflect the potential positive impact on the bank's ratings. It is, of course, worth noting that public sector bank shares have been on a selling spree following the government's announcement to merge these banks. And now for the Greek chorus. What do experts have to say about this? Punjab National Bank's MD and CEO Sunil Mehta said this merger will be beneficial for the banking system and the country as a whole. He said the merger of these banks will bring a lot of synergies into the existing entities and that the capital infusion announced by the government for the merged entity is adequate. He went on to say, and I quote, "All the requirements of the bank, including the minimum regulatory requirement as well as the growth requirements, have been completed while working out the capital infusion." Unquote. Canara Bank MD and CEO R. A. Shankaranarayanan said the move will provide better opportunities to do quality business. It's not like he's going to come out and say this is bad, right? Anyway, he went on to say, and I quote, "We will be taking the proposal to the board in the next 7 to 10 days, and once we get the approvals from the government and the Gazette notifications, the actual integration may happen sometime in the first week of April 2020. Unquote. Arundhati Bhattacharya, former chairman of State Bank of India, told Economic Times, and I quote, "I have always said that India needs bigger banks. Many PSBs were subpar in size, and this merger will help them. The kind of investments one needs to make in compliance and technology is enormous, and the return on investment is not enough for smaller banks. The bigger the entity, the stronger you become." Unquote. Kuntal Sur, partner at PwC India, went on to say, and I quote, "All these banks were thin at the top because they were struggling to get good quality GMs and CGMs, and these mergers will create the bandwidth for better mid-management. This will in turn help in better loan monitoring, overseeing the end use of funds, and better recovery." Unquote. Saurabh Tripathi, who is a partner at Boston Consulting Group, BCG, went on to say, "A bigger bank helps in more independent decision-making. SBI is a case in point. Its size and scale allow its management the bandwidth and stature to deal with government ministries with confidence and make faster decisions. The smaller banks still wait for government signaling." Unquote. Conversely, a report by Credit Suisse claimed that the merger is unlikely to revive credit growth or have meaningful cost synergies. The report went on to say, "Coupled with the ongoing moderation in growth for private banks led by auto sector slowdown and increased cautiousness, credit growth thus is unlikely to be revived by PSB mergers." Unquote. It explained that the merger is unlikely to meaningfully revive the flow of credit to the liquidity-pressed NBFCs, given the already high share of NBFC exposure in constituent banks. The four new entities will have more than 10% of their loan exposure toward NBFCs. About cost synergies, the report said that the limited flexibility on restructuring and rationalization indicates that meaningful cost synergies from PSB mergers are unlikely. While the large recapitalization improves the capacity for banks to grow loans, recent experiences at State Bank of India and Bank of Baroda indicate that focus on integration impacts near-term growth. Unquote. That report went on to summarize that the merged banks will continue to depend on external infusions, inviting frequent dilutions. Now, taking a middle path, a report by Centrum Broking Research went on to claim, and I quote, "In our opinion, and going by recent precedents, consolidation has generally been near-term detrimental to the stronger, that is the acquiring banks, and an extended integration period remains a challenge for these entities. We believe the proposed mergers will face near-term challenges by way of integration of processes, human resources, consolidation of financials, and branch network rationalization." The report claimed that the consolidated banks will likely see an improvement in economies of scale and efficiency of operations over the medium to long term. Well, there you go. We've sung this tune several times before. What are the advantages and disadvantages of consolidating public sector banks? It's almost like an essay question that we all can answer to get us at least 9 marks out of those stipulated 10. We have discussed this before in the case of Bank of Baroda, and now this is a new round. And the exceptions remain the same, and those few voices that actually encourage the move also remain the same. Whether or not the cultures of these banks are compatible, and whether or not the operational efficiencies that people are expecting to see with these mergers will actually take place is, of course, a matter for us to sit back and observe. We haven't quite seen the gains, so to speak, in the Bank of Baroda merger that happened last year, but we'll just have to give this time and see whether it'll happen in these cases. But the matter at hand, the summary of it is that 27 have now become 12. Thank you for joining us.
And finally, a word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, stock analysis, and trading recommendations. You can now subscribe to Money Control Pro for just 289 rupees for a year as part of our independence offer. Use the code FREEDOM, FREEDOM. The offer is valid until the 31st of August for Android and desktop users. You can log on to moneycontrol.com to subscribe.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.